Bonker Zonks.
100 plus to collect.
These superheroes and villains may look small, but they pack big time action. Whether you flick, stack, spin, or attack to battle your friends for stunt supremacy, these guys are up for any challenge.
Battle online, bonkerzonks.com. Ask a parent before going online. Websites available for a limited time only.
Marvel!
Welcome, dear listener, to our podcast. Jeff and Rick present Unpacking the Power of Power Pack,
where we journey through each issue of comics and include a member of the most underrated Marvel series from the 80s while drinking beer,
analyzing awesome and amazing adjacent adolescent adventures, and absorbing alcohol.
I am Jeff.
And I'm Rick.
Random banter is a form of athletic theater that combines mock combat with drama under the premise that the performers are competitive wrestlers. Random banter time, buddy! Talk to me, tell me tall tales and tantalizing tidbits of trivia today!
Austin 316 says I don't know which that came from.
Yep.
What? I think you're talking about pro wrestling.
Mm-hmm. I think I am talking about pro wrestling. I think you know 100% why I'm talking about pro wrestling.
Yeah, yeah. There's a bit of a staged combat that does occur in this issue.
Very true.
But we will get to that in a bit. They will get to that in a little bit. We won't go off on a weird tangent about talking about wrestling. I sure could, because I was talking about wrestling on Friday night. Mm-hmm. Well, I wasn't going to go on this at all, but I'm going to go ahead and go here. I actually went out on Friday night to go to see a fellow local comic book fan, his band that he's in. And I went with Colin Stapleton from the Worst Comic Podcast Ever. And it was a mutual friend of ours named Steven. He was in a band called Manthus. And they are a heavy metal rock band. And we went to the Twilight Room, which is a little bit bigger than a postage stamp. And the bar was filled with a bunch of people wearing black leather and spikes, and there was Colin and I. I was at least wearing a leather jacket. It was not spiked leather jacket, but it was a leather jacket. Now, it was fun. It was a lot of fun. The lead singer, Ben, he actually is a comic book fan too, and I got introduced to him when we got in there, and him and I ended up sitting at the bar just talking about comic books, his favorite comic books, and we share a lot of the same ones, and we were talking about that a bit. Now, after imagine that this guy is hair down to his shoulders, he's wearing an Iron Maiden T-top shirt, tattoos up and down his body, big gruff voice like this, and him and I are just sitting there talking comic books. Until he switched over to talk about pro wrestling and start talking about his love of pro wrestling. And I kept up as best I could on that. It was a hoot. Had a good time. But
nice.
First band we saw was Doom Metal, which I'd never heard before. And okay, I've heard them now. Then there was Steven and Ben's band. And they were pretty darn good. I actually enjoyed listening to them. Like, I could understand what the lead singer was singing. It was pretty impressive.
I like metal a lot. I've listened to a lot of different metal, but I have to admit that I do prefer it when I can actually understand lyrics.
Yeah, yeah. That was quite enjoyable. I mentioned to him at the end of the show, I'm like, I can understand you. That was awesome. And of course, Colin and I, being the old men we were like, oh, we forgot to bring our earplugs. That's okay. The bartender hooked us up.
Nice. I always do earplugs at shows. Even when I was younger, I realized it was like, oh, the thing, it's loud enough that the earplugs just make it so that I don't have distortion and then I don't have tinnitus later. This is fantastic.
I got home and I was like, the next day, I'm like, I can actually hear. This is wonderful. So yes, that was my Friday night. It was an enjoyable night out. Had a good time talking with Colin. It's always a pleasure to chat with him. I guess the only other thing I want to mention is that one of our friends last night, one of our mutual friends from geocaching, she texted me last night and said, hey, you have the Lego set for the Infinity Gauntlet. And this person asking me that question was like, yeah, I do. Why are you asking? Well, she was putting it together and she was stuck on this one part. She got it completed. I'm like, great, excellent. She goes, great. Now her boyfriend, Mike, he can put together the light kit from Brick Max for the Lego. Yeah. And I was like, say what now, Willis?
Uh-huh. And I looked it up. you're in trouble if you've just learned about Light Kits for Lego, man.
Oh,
yeah. There's,
oh,
I like the stuff from Light My Brick, personally, but yeah.
Yeah, I'm in a little bit of trouble here, because I was telling Cindy about it. She goes, well, do you want to get that? I said, what do you mean, do I want to get it? I just ordered it.
Yeah. Why would I get it again, honey? Why would I get it again? Yeah, I'm going to just drop these names in your ear. There's Brick Max, Light Tailing, Light My Bricks, which is my preference. Light My Bricks.
Well, I'm going to try this one out, and I still have the Optimus Prime set that's up there, mm-hmm. too. I want to make sure that these will work. I think that I can put them onto a USB, which I want to get them USB, because I've already got that lit up there anyways. Oh, I don't want to deal with batteries. I would rather just have it constant where I can turn it on and off. Yes, that will be lighting up this room post-haste.
Oh, my friend, you've gone down another slippery slope.
Hey, I'm only going to do the ones I've got here. Those are the only two I've got. Well, I guess I do have that one up there, but that would be a little bit more weird to light up, so. Yes, I'm a little upset about finding out about this, too.
Yeah, you should be. Again, they're pretty darn cool. Really neat to see the cityscape stuff, the modulars and everything with the lights on them, so that way you get the whole cityscape and light them up, and then you gotta get a circus, and then you got circus lights, and yeah,
I'm gonna keep the expectations a little bit low. I've only got two sets that are really set up there, so we'll just go with that for now. Thank you very much. I don't need to do more than that. Okay, what about you? What enjoyable pop culture related thing have you been up to, sir?
Well, you know how we've been reading Avengers Academy?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I decided that I was going to go back to the beginning. And so I went back to issue one, and I've read the entirety to up to where we are of Avengers Academy.
You understand it more now.
I understand it more. And here is my summation descriptor of the first 1920 Avengers Academy books that we didn't read. And that is, Vale makes bad choices.
Who's Vale?
Vale.
Who's Vale?
Vale? Oh, she did the Irish goodbye.
Oh, so everything you read really doesn't reflect where we're at now then?
A little bit, but mostly no.
Let me ask you this. What kind of influence did Power Pack have in those first 1920 issues?
Yeah, nothing.
Okay.
Yeah, so there's no reason to go read for any discussion on them or for us to cover them. It's just the aspect of, I want to read the rest of these, so I did.
I was just being difficult.
I'm fully aware of that.
Okay.
So that's what I've been up to. I've been reading some comics.
Nice. Mm-hmm. I hope you have a little bit more appreciation for Reptile.
Reptile just pretty much has been the character that he is, in all honesty.
Well, that's unfortunate.
Yeah, I think he's fine. There was a really good issue where they had like a superhero prom.
Oh.
And that was pretty fun.
All right. Well, let me just move us in to the book itself by asking you to give us a 2-sentence replay of last episode.
While the mutant students of the academy try to figure out whose side they should be on, the teachers go Shaw hunting in a monkey chain that the memory-minimized muscle man masticates in minimal moments. This, of course, is the perfect time for the enforced guest mutant students to challenge their campus confinement and have a face-off with the academy students, where everyone has to figure out which team they want to play with while Shaw pops up, licking his lips, talking about what a convenient Whitman sampler pack he has just found. Now that the appearance of a sentinel popping up out of the ocean did nothing to calm the nerves of the X-Kids. 2-sentence replay is over. Why don't you give me a beer and tell us what our power pack pick is?
My pleasure, my friend. Why don't you reach in that bag and tell me what kind of times we are having here today?
We are having The Best Times by Hell's Lager, Urban Family Brewing Company. Oh man, that's pretty cool. That's got puppy dog surrounded by flying chickens riding a sharp-toothed brontosaurus that's wearing a cowboy hat and has a harness on, so that way the little pup can guide it along. There's also a VW soft top bug back there, and that's pretty ridiculous. There's a lot of stuff going on. There's also a portrait flying through the air of a Viking longship. It's got a lot going on with it. It's a big old kerfuffle.
Let me just say this. Think about the last image of this book, and I think that you'll understand kind of what I'm talking about, that Best Times.
It is the Best Times. Yeah, no, the very end of it is Best of Times. There's a bunch of people having a whole enjoyable thing. Yeah, I understand Best of Times, but then I got hooked in on that drawing where a lot of stuff is going on. It's crazy times. Much like what's also going on in this book.
That's also going on in this book, too. That's pretty much about it.
Story time on it is Keep Cold, Drink ASAP.
Best Times by Urban Family Brewing, brewed in collaboration with our besties at Sisters and Brothers. This is an ABV 5.4 Hella's Lager. Yeah, this looked like a lot of fun. I like the smell. It smells like beer.
Yes, it does smell like beer. It smells like beer brand beer. It smells like lager brand lager.
It's a lager. The lager smells like beer. I don't know what to tell you. It smells like wheat.
Exactly what it is.
Barley. It looks like beer color.
Lager. Yeah, it's bubbly like beer, but it doesn't have a head on it. It's pretty wonderful. It is very nice.
This is what is being served at Cheers?
All the time. Yeah, this is a Cheers beer right here. So, cheers.
Yeah.
It's very dry on the tongue. Dries my tongue right out.
Yeah, but it's a lager.
It's nice. Yeah, it's a lager. It's a pleasant one at that. We've had some on that have been a little bit less than pleasant, but this is an enjoyable lager. It's exactly what it is, and it's good.
It tastes like wheat, barley. It tastes like what you want a Budweiser to taste like. Except much, much better.
Yeah, except much, much better. It's sadly a lot of the American beers where I'm like, oh, that's a beer, and I grew up drinking that at my dad's knee kind of thing, and yeah, I don't want that anymore. But this is actually quite pleasant.
This is what you'd like to have. This is a nice, refreshing, clear, crisp, easy drinking lager beer.
Yep. The aftertaste of it is mild, little weedy, little lager-like. It's cool. It's refreshing. This is very good.
Sitting on a boat.
Sitting on a boat. It's a good boat beer.
Yes. Very good boat beer. This is a beer that you have at the best times.
Yeah. You got it. Best times beer.
There's nothing else to say about this beer except that it's just enjoyable and nice. And
yep. Done.
Yeah. Yeah. Sitting on a beach, drinking a beer. Oh, we can't do that. We're getting attacked. Jeff. Opening credits, if you please.
Avengers Academy, number 31, August 2012, Protective Services, Part 3. Credits. Writer, Christos N. Gage. Penciler, Tom Grummet. Inker, Corey Hampshire. Colorist, Chris Sotomayor. Letterer, Joe Caramanga. Editor, Bill Roseman.
Featuring Tigra, Hercules, Striker, Hazmat, Ricochet, Finesse, Metal, X-23, Reptile, White Tiger, Lightspeed, Loa, Justin Seaford, Hollow, a whole bunch of X-Men that are visiting, and Chaos, I tell you.
Let us go to the Sermon on the Mount and hear what the good word is.
Are you trying to say that the shirtless, powerful mutant who is a known manipulator and murderer and is speaking to the assembled mutants and Avengers is similar to the dude who shared a bunch of fish and bread and spoke of goodwill to Ben?
Well, you know, when you put it like that, no. And as far as the good word, most of the crowd is curious to hear about their teachers and what happened to them.
Oh, you mean that line of bodies from the sewer to the main building? Yeah, about that. Dr. Cravito Rao has radioed Hazmat to let her know that she has found a barely conscious Tigra.
Hazmat takes offense to this and says it is time to take off and nuke the entire Shaw from orbit. It's the only way to be sure. So she hits him with a toxic chemical blast.
Zark.
Let's get the party started! Transonic takes offense at this and hits Hazmat. And well, a late night beach dance party has begun.
Some call it a fight. I'll bet a short one.
Everyone stops when Hazmat declares that Shaw is going to kill them.
Well, yeah, I guess that's a good reason to stop fighting.
But you are not sure. In fact, no one is. Laura's instincts say otherwise, so she asks the Cuckoo Sisters for a telepathic read. But that's a no-go on a beach with an inhibitor.
Oh, yeah. Oh, but what about Finesse? She reads people. So what does she assess of the Shaw situation?
She thinks that he wants a scotch.
Focus, Rick, focus.
And to help the flight risk kids to escape.
There we go. Yeah, it seems like they misjudged the evil bad guy. He's not that evil or bad. He's just evil bad. Or at least was. And currently he is not a child killer.
Well, he's got that going for him.
Oh, look, Hercules and... Oh my stars and garters, there's Madison Jeffries, alive, with Tigra and the Sentinel.
Okay, the gang is all here. But wait, we still have a problem. The Avengers cannot just let these people walk off the base. First of all, the X-Kids have already sent their Christmas wish list to Santa, so they really should stay through the holidays.
It is time to monologue. Laura style. You see, from her point of view, these kids, as mutants, have seen some bad stuff.
Good catch. Yeah, these kids have lived with horrible persecution and hate, and now they see a potential future with mutant kind that involves Mars, resurrection, and an island with a bar lagoon.
Well, not that far into the future. More like a general, we got the power future. The fun is coming, and the X-Kids want to play.
But that's just it. Tigra points out that their problem is that the war is no place for kids.
Here's the argument against that, provided by Finesse. They make life and death decisions all the time. And they make fashion decisions that would stun a normal Parisian male. Plus, life and death based upon multiple apocalypses. And, well, a guy named Apocalypse.
Fine, whatever. But let me play a refrain from the last story arc. They're just kids.
Take a drink. Most of the academians have decided that Laura makes good points and is a pretty good leader.
So in the era where Logan runs an educational institution, we have yet another Wolverine who is inspiring youngsters.
They are an inspirational species.
So inspirational that Hercules also agrees. Her words have touched his sensitive soul like the dawn rays upon...
To somewhat quote Tigra, shut up, Hercules.
It's not just Herc. The other two substitute teachers also agree.
Well, yeah, but they're biased since they're part of the mutant fan club.
Well, Tigra is in a pickle.
Wait, what? I missed that. And why would you want fur on a pickle?
No, it's just a... Okay, moving on. Tigra does not totally agree with the assessment of events, but she also does not agree with it either. But she also does not want to deal with this mess, and she cannot look like she is letting them go due to all the cameras on the grounds. I repeat, so many cameras watching what happens if the kids try to leave. So...
Some people drop hints when they want to be subtle. Tiger has to resort to dropping anvils, like comically cartoon-sized ones. She knows that she has to create a little scene, and she needs all the kids to play along.
The Avengers can't just let the kids walk out of here. Or Uber out. Is it canonically too soon for Uber? And there we go. It is time for a quote-unquote totally real and not pretend fight where absolutely any one team could win because of how unfake and serious this conflict is.
Rick, does Laura know that this is a staged fight?
Maybe. She has not 100% figured that out yet.
Meanwhile, Hercules is hamming it up. Big time! I mean, Big H does not do anything small. Not even acting, or play fighting, or whatever he was doing while Stryker is attacking him.
Oh, it is all out bad acting.
Speaking of bad, Reptile is fighting Finesse, mostly to talk to her and say that he understands what she's saying, but he is not going to change his mind on what he thinks is right for her.
Whatever. I am more interested in the real show. Justin and his Sentinel versus Sebastian Shaw. Let's get it on!
Is it really a fight when there is so much hero worshiping going on? Justin is so fascinated by this guy. I mean, this guy built the Sentinels, right?
Not really. He was just like a silent backer, or a very silent backer who participated in the funding, the building of machines that destroyed his own kind. Kind of. A way. Sort of.
Shaw says he does not remember much about his contributions, but he remembers a fondness for this classic model. That can self-repair, right?
Yep.
Shrink.
Punchy, punchy.
We talked about bad acting, so let's mention the good acting. But who would we know who would know about good acting? Can we think of anyone?
Oh, I know. You're talking about the bestest actress in the team, Julie. And thanks to the amazing guest star Dust, the scene is pretty incredible.
Serious special effects.
Oh, yeah. Julie fakes choking in a dust storm and does a pretty awesome breakfall to the ground.
Apparently, she just got a callback from a Lifetime movie.
Oh, well, you know, everybody has to start somewhere.
Let's check on Tion and White Tiger.
Well, here's the thing. Tion has a feral mind.
Which means?
I don't know, but he seems pretty unrefined, and he can only really handle simple instructions.
So he is really fighting White Tiger.
But Velocidad finally tells his buddy that fight time is over, and now it's the time to sleep. Which causes him to go, sleep? And then he collapses and falls over asleep on top of White Tiger.
Well, that's fun. Would be more fun if the mutant did not smell of a high school gym laundry room.
Okay. Well, how about the rest of the fight?
Tiger is taking a pretend fall to a not-so-fake blast from Surge.
There we go. Now we have all the mutants and some of the Academy kids trying to figure out what to do next, now that they've won the fight.
Shaw tells them to do what they want. They are young, powerful, and do not have a debilitating credit history and mountains of debt.
Hoi, that hits a bit too close to home, my friend. Kind of depressed now, really.
Shaw is encouraging them to do what he is doing.
Diving into the ocean to swim to his evil future?
Metaphorically. I guess he is saying, take this chance and do something that they feel is right.
Tiger tells Shaw that he better not waste this chance or she's going to hunt him down and take him down. All the way down. Down to the down-down.
Quiet, you. Play dead.
The rest of the mutants start to figure out how they are going to get out of Dodge, or Palos Verde in this case.
And as the ex-enforced guests are getting ready to leave, an assumption is made that Laura will join them.
Every ex-team needs a Wolverine stand-in, or an actual Wolverine if one is not available.
But Laura's good. She thanks, no thanks them. The AA is the team that she wants to stick with as these bad kids aren't so bad.
Well... Hugs all around and peace out as Pixie ports them out of there to parts unknown.
And as Tigra takes stock of the situation, they recognize they have a plus one. Loa!
Wait, You mean that the surfing mutant who connected the most with these adolescent Avengers decided to stay with the team whose campus is on the California coast with beach access? I mean, why is anybody surprised?
Later!
Beach party time! Tigra and Herc talk about what the heck just happened, and the big guy admires the kids who can just put aside the war and do what really matters, which is hanging 10.
I mean, what else can you say?
We can say the end.
Oh yeah, you can say that. Well, I can say this. Themes of the issue, talking about cover credits, yeah. We are talking about this cover done by Giuseppe Camuncoli and Jim Charlampindis. And I am just butchering those names beyond all recognition. Even their mothers would not recognize what I'm saying.
They could call them Giuseppe and Jim.
Sure. Let's talk about this cover.
Mm-hmm.
We have the Avengers Academy sporting some new looks. They are wearing the X-Kids uniforms, the good old New Mutants type uniforms.
Yeah, the old New Mutants outfit.
The blue with the yellow on it. Yeah, it's pretty nice. You got hazmat metal, a Stryker and Reptile there. And Stryker's got his hand out and he's got his energy going out in a big X pattern. It's pretty sweet. I like it.
It's pretty neat looking. Yep. It's a good X symbol that he's making with his lightning strikes. And what's fun on this is that, yeah, all these kids went to the X-Men side, especially and including Reptile. Reptile was 100% on board with hold on, wait a minute. Reptile stayed on the Avengers side. What the?
Yeah, it's just representing. Fine, whatever.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. No, it's still great. It's a fun cover.
I like this one. This is kind of neat. This is fun. This is a good wrap-up to this issue. And I think that they did a good job of saying, okay, look, we don't agree with this. This is a bad situation. Tigra didn't really want to be part of this. So I think it's a good out for everybody involved in it.
Mm-hmm. It really is. It moves the guest stars off page again. They cameoed for a while. They got to leave.
Yeah.
With reason.
Yeah, with reason and without a big, ugly fight. It's just a fun fight.
Mm-hmm. They had several not big fights that stopped immediately a bunch of times. And then, yeah, then they had a big ol' drag-out, knuckle-dusting fake brawl.
Yeah. What do you think about the right turn made by Shaw?
The Shaw right-hand turn was quite a surprise, in all honesty, because they really set that up as, yeah, Shaw was breaking free to go enact his revenge because he got knowledge of his memories back, and he knew how to hurt Emma Frost, which would be by Shaw killing her wards, her students. Instead, no, he's going to break them free and get them out of there, when honestly they kind of just could have walked away anytime they wanted to anyway, if they wanted to. It was a surprise. It was nice to see character change in a character like Shaw like that.
Yeah, subverting the expectation kind of blew the wind out of that entire sail. It's like, oh, there's going to be this big old fight, this big old knockdown fight. No. Okay, were we going to really stop the kids? No. So everything that we thought was building up from last issue, none of it really happened.
Like I talked about his character arc change on that. It was really interesting just due to the fact where, like, wait, you thought that I was going to kill the kids? You thought I was going to kill children? What kind of person was I?
The kind that we thought would kill kids.
Yeah, the kind that would kill kids without hesitation. Yeah, just neat on that regard, because it's like Shaw is an entirely different character now. You know, he has the same power set and stuff, and he kind of knows a lot of things still, but he's a different person. He's gotten that part of his life wiped out, so he's becoming somebody. It's like he's becoming somebody that he would want to be.
Yeah.
Instead of a villain, it's somebody that would be like, well, I'm trying to help, and I'm trying to do these things, and trying to justify people have been giving me chances, and I'm trying to earn those chances that have been given to me. So, interesting. There's been a lot of things in these past three issues where it's like, fight, no talk. Mm-hmm. Here we go with a fight, no talk. And another fight, no fight. We need to. Yeah, there was a lot of the, like, break stops on a lot of different things, and Shaw was definitely one of them.
I was just listening to the Longbox Crusade in their most recent Spider-Man Chronicles. Their backup book they covered was Uncanny X-Men 150, and this was the big issue where Chris Claremont brought Magneto back, and they thought this was going to be this big fight, Magneto versus the world, and kind of a little bit the same setup here. I think that once again, Christos Gage is looking back to a lot of X-Men, Claremont X-Men to get ideas. This big bad that they think is going to cause this big fight, he actually stops. And you know, especially when Kitty Pryde gets injured, he says, what? I've injured a child. No, I've never wanted to do that. And makes him rethink his own thoughts about the grand plan of the grand villain. I am not saying that Shaw is Magneto. Shaw does not have the layers of Magneto. This is just a guy who doesn't have his baser instincts installed right now. Mm-hmm. I personally think that Shaw would kill a child if that child was in his way.
Yeah.
any other time, that's what Shaw would do. So he is not like Magneto in that sense, but I think that there is some similarities that can be looked at here. This is the expectation that we have of these big villains. Let's subvert the expectations somehow and set them on a different path. It's a good story beat, especially in this small instance using Shaw like this. This is not what I want to see Shaw as. I want to see him as the conniving villain. Yeah. I do.
Well, he'll come back.
Oh, yes, he will come back. Always and always and evermore.
Mm-hmm.
Right up until the point that Catherine Pride and Emma Frost absolutely own him on Krakoa Island.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
That was pretty great. Yeah, I also like the fact, oh, we've got resurrection protocols and everything. It's like, yeah, and if you use them, we're going to make sure you never come back. So you get to live like this. Enjoy your wheelchair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, yes, yes. All right, let's talk about this fake fight. What did you think about it? Was it fun?
It was fun and ridiculous because you got Hercules immediately. Oh, he's been struck by lightning, and now it's the giant ham fest of him. Oh, the light dims from my eyes while my fighting spirit wanes, yet still I draw breath to express my... Yeah, and just on and on and on, and Stryker's all like, dude, you are a bad actor. He's like, oh, you know, Sophocles didn't think so. Hercules was the first one out of the fight, and also the last one to fall down to the fight. It was stupid. It was ridiculous. It was fine and fun. Not all the kids were there. Like the Atlantean kid, totally not in the fight, but he popped up again at the end to jump into the ocean and go, I'm going to Atlantis.
Bye, yes!
So, bye. Bye. You might have forgotten about me. Hey, that character's there too. Oh, okay. Forgot about Penance. Okay.
Well, you can't have all of them in the fight. I mean, we had Shaw taking out the Sentinel. Yeah, we want to see that. That's a big old scene. Hercules has got to ham it up. We had a nice moment with Julie, who's the actual actress in the group.
Yeah.
So, you know, we got the beats that we wanted to get. We have Tiger saying, okay, look, I'm going to lay down for you. We're going to do this. Does everybody get it? Not really, but we'll make it work. We'll figure it out. And all these kids have been through a danger room.
Yes, they did. It was neat just because there was a lot of people pulling punches and there were people that were not pulling punches.
No, yeah.
Yeah. All so right. Like Primal, not pulling punches. Yeah. Surge, not really pulling punches.
It's fine.
It was great. It was neat.
We had one person stay. Would you have liked to have seen some more shifting of teams? Would you like to have seen a couple of the other people go with the mutants and a couple more mutants stay? Mix up what's going on the island a little bit.
Oh, man, but what would have happened if we had lost WizKid and gained the Atlantean? I mean, that would have been
I like WizKid. I like how Loa stayed. I think I would have... It would have been more interesting to see a couple more people shift and move.
I would have liked to have seen a couple more mutants stay behind. I would have liked that. That, I think, would have been neat. Loa is going to be a low effort person to add onto the team because she's pretty laid back and vibing with Metal pretty good. It would have been neat to have seen a couple of other kids pop in just to get the ensemble casts. Christos does a really good job with, so it's like, oh, that'd be cool to see a couple more people, get some more storylines in there. But having one person stay, that's neat. It would have been cooler to see a couple more stay. Here's the only thing. The people that would have gone with them would have been probably the mutant characters. But like Ricochet and WizKid and stuff, they don't really get a lot of stage time. If they had gone with, it would have been an easy, acceptable loss because it would have been like, oh man, some of your team has gone away. But it's part of the team that just wasn't really there anyway. No, it was fun. It was enjoyable. Had some little surprises in there. It had a bunch of fights that became not fights. Reset the board back to the base thing, except they gained a kid, which is kind of interesting. And I'm curious to see what they're going to do with a new kid on the team. Thing that was going on. So I guess everybody's got to have their little cross-in issues. So it succeeded in doing what it set out to do, which was to say, hey, we're part of this universe too. So in the minorest of ways.
Well, speaking of universes, let's talk about a galaxy. No, I'm sorry. That's a gallery of greatness. Let's talk about what piece of art book we need to have in the newly vacated rooms of the Avengers Academy, where there were guests and now there are guests no more. So let's talk about some of the things that we enjoyed in this book, starting with some funny joke. I want to go ahead and start off with one that I caught in here. It is at the end of the fight, Shaw is about to make his peace out dive, and Tigra's like, no, wait, I want to say something. And so she grabs his ankle. And I just thought this was kind of funny. It's Tigra grabbing Shaw's ankle. And I said, well, yes, that's like me and every one of my cats. So it's like a cat grabbing your ankle as you are walking by. Here comes a little cat grabbing your ankle and getting a claw and saying, meow, meow. And you're like, whatever, cat, pretend you're dead.
Yeah, shh, you're dead now, time. Keep on playing. My joke backup one is on page 10 of Marvel Unlimited, and I call it Apparent Strength Headache. And this is after they've discovered that Shaw isn't going to kill the kids but help them escape, and the X-Kids want to leave, and the Avengers Academy kids are like, yeah, I don't want to keep them here. They should be able to go too. And Hercules is like, oh, their words have touched my heart. Jeffries is like, yeah, these kids have gone through a lot and they should kind of make their own decisions. And Dr. Rao is just like, I just want to go back to my lab. I don't care what happens. So Tiger is the only adult in the room going, oh, I got to figure out what's going to happen now. Okay, here's what's going to happen. You guys can't just leave. You got to pretend. So
it's Tiger just dealing with everybody around, and she hates everybody. She just hates everybody. Yes.
Justifiably so in this regard, my opinion.
Yes, yes, yes. Very, very much so. My top joke one is at the beginning of the book, and it's where Hazmat says, no, Shaw's evil, and so she blasts him with Mountain Dew.
Yeah.
I know her power is blasting people with chemical radiation, but it looks like she turned on the Mountain Dew jets. They are using this neon green color that is just, it's ridiculous. It's Mountain Dew. It's just ridiculous.
It's Mountain Dew, yeah.
Eat Mountain Dew, Shaw.
Yeah, do the dew!
Do the dew!
He can't handle this extreme beverage.
What do you got going on?
My top joke one is on page 6, and I call it All Wrapped Up. And this is when Laura has asked Finesse to analyze the situation. What's Shaw up to? And she's just like tossing people around and going, oh, I think he's doing this. And it seems like his pattern of method, you know, his operandi right now is that he's trying to help the kids escape. And in the background, Shaw is just all wrapped up in a prehistoric boa constrictor snake by a reptile. And it just cracks me up just to have somebody doing a little monologue and just a little exposition in front of this giant dinosaur fight in the background.
Oh, nothing big going on here. Just snake. Oh, okay. All right. Not a problem.
Shaw's struggling with it too. It's fantastic. I love it.
So my backup best art is what I call beach party. It's just a beach party. And this is the beach party I'm talking about. It's the one near the end of the book. And we're having a beach party.
It's my favorite one. I called it beach party as well.
We got Loa and White Tiger surfing in. You got the big sentinel just sitting in the surf with his handouts as a diving board. Metal on the shore talking to Laura with the surfboard. Tigra and Hercules looking over everything. It's very pleasant. It's a nice place to be. It's wonderful.
It is great. Like I said, that's my top art one. My backup one is on page 3. It's the first splash page. It's the very opening one, which I call Service on the Mount. And this has Shaw up on the little hillside, taking up half the screen, and you've got all the kids underneath them looking up at him, hearing what his words are.
Yeah, it's a nice one. I was looking at that one, but I was like, there's just too much Shaw muscle. There's too much Shaw chest for my taste.
He's a beefy boy, and he's filling the page.
Instead, I went with my top good art one, which I call Beach Party. And the beach party I'm talking about is this beach party.
Oh, I'm looking at the page right now, yeah. Yeah, that's the two-page spread.
Yeah, it's a two-page spread where they're having a beach party on the beach. It's really nice. It's peaceful. It's everybody's punching everybody.
Yeah, everybody's punching everybody.
Everybody's just punching everybody. Yeah, yeah. So I chose Beach Party as my best artwork.
It's a good theme.
Yeah, it's a good theme.
It's
good
a
theme.
Fantastic theme.
I'm glad that you think that I've got a fantastic theme, Mr. Captain Chest Hair.
And a fantastic beach body.
Thank you. Thank you. I've got one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you do not, Captain Chest Hair. Rubber and glue moment. What was the best or most childish insult? Newsflash, Captain Chest Hair is bad news. Avengers assemble. That's what Hazmat says.
That is what Hazmat says.
Captain
in regards to
Chest
Shaw.
Hair. Captain Chest Hair. Yes,
I
yes,
like
yes.
That.
Thank you. What do you have?
Mine is on page 5, and it is the big everybody fights everybody beach party one, and it is Surge and Stryker facing off, and Surge is all, you think you can overload me, Surge? And Stryker's response is, don't know, but your stupid-looking gloves are starting to smoke, so whatever they do, they won't do it much longer.
I had that one typed down until I saw Captain Chest Hair, and so
Captain
I
Chest
decided to
good.
Get rid of that one. Yeah, so I had as my top, and I think it's Surge, and she says, now I feel bad about calling you an old perv behind your back. Surge talking to Shaw saying that I feel bad about calling you an old perv. Yeah, 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 it's a nice little,
now,
nice little.
Now she respects him enough to call him that to his face.
Well, yeah.
Which is what all men of a certain age want to hear from a school student.
No,
that's
no, we don't.
no doubt. Well, my top one is on the same page that I was covering before, page 5, and this is Primal and White Tiger fighting, and Primal's all, "Fight, mate!" And White Tiger's response is, "Fight, Primal, definitely fight." Crack me up.
Oh.
Primal's very simple, very, very simple. I like the concept. The interaction between the two of them are pretty fantastic.
I am pretty simple as well. I am so simple that when it comes to Parent of the Year, the Reed Richards Award for Good Parenting, I really have one choice, and it's a choice that we've been saying a lot lately, and that's Tigra.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's Tigra in the good way, in my opinion,
yeah,
on this one.
Yeah, she made the parenting decision of, look, the kids are going to go sneak out of the house anyways.
Yeah.
Let's at least pretend. Okay, let's at least pretend we stop the kids from sneaking out of the house.
Yeah, let's just set the boundaries and make sure that those boundaries really don't exist. And so expectations will be met.
Yeah, she's making the best choice in a rough situation. So,
hey,
nobody else was even close.
She kept a kid. She at least rescued one. So there's something.
No, she didn't. The person decided to stay on their own.
Thanks to Tigra and all of her work in parenting.
Okay. Most popular and the shunned. The character who is the best and the worst in this issue. I'm just going to go ahead and do best this time because I couldn't really think of anybody else who was best other than Tigra. I don't like to make the parent of the year match the best character in the book. But in this case, I just don't think anybody else made as good of decisions as Tigra did.
I picked Laura because it's a Laura book.
Yeah, I guess.
She made decisions. She instigated the stopping of the fight. She stood up for what she thought was right. She is becoming a person on her own because she even talks about that. She goes, everybody tells me they want me to make my own choices, but anytime they do, I then have people telling me to do what they say. And she stood up for what she believes in. She stopped the fight. She helped her friends. She also then made a decision to stay with the Academy instead of going with the X people. All the X people were just under the assumption, like, okay, Laura's with us again now. Cool, we can make up for the bad times that we had that we threw your way. Now we can work on that because you're coming with us. And she's like, no, actually, I'm not. And so she self-actualized enough, and I thought that was very impressive.
Yeah, okay, I can see that. I'm fine with Tigra.
Tigra's a great choice.
Let's talk about the worst. Herc?
Oh, no way. Herc was awesome. He had been complimented on his acting by a Dionycles or Sophocles or Staff.
So you have Hercules too then, huh?
No, I like Hercules. I thought Hercules was great. I said Surge.
I went with Hercules because of his acting. Just because of his acting. It is so bad, it reaches beyond all comparison. And if they're trying to put on a show to say, hey, we did our best, what Herc is doing is going to make it look horrible.
Yeah, it's ruining it. So, I think they're going to see through the ruse anyway, anybody that looks at it.
They are, but Hercules does not make it easy. So, yeah.
I just love Herc, so I give him a big broad swath on that kind of stuff. I'm still saying Surge. I mean, you don't tell the person that you thought was a pervy old perv that you thought he was a pervy old perv. Maybe keep that to yourself, little lady. And the assumption that Laura was thinking that she was just going to jump on board and join the old mutant liberation front.
Hang on. You're not supposed to tell somebody that they're a perv? So you really didn't appreciate me bleaching your driveway with that?
We're going to have a little talk about that off screen there, buddy.
You know, you try to give somebody a birthday present that he's going to respect for a long time, and that's what you get.
Well, okay, let's get into it right now. When you write on the driveway, not an old perv, you got to remember where people park their cars, because I park on top of that not part.
Nope, that is not my problem. That's something you need to bring up with Hillary, okay? That's all I'm saying.
And our HOA.
They're the ones who told me to paint it. Anyways, let's go ahead and talk about top grades. We need to evaluate each issue against the other issues with a member of the pack in them. Top of the list is still Fantastic Four, Month of Mourning. Spot number 10, Kings of Atlantis. Spot number 20, Amazing Spider-Man 659, Fantastic Voyage Part 1. Spot number 30, Marvel Holiday Special 2007, Secret Santa. Spot number 40, Wolverine, Volume 2. Number 37, Fall Back, Spring Forward. You know, Puck, Wolverine, old times. It was fun. Spot number 50, The Sound of War from FF number 5. And, of course, What Lies Beneath. This is fun. I think this is going to go up a little bit.
It's fun. It's pretty light. It's fun. Let's just do this. Issue number 30, the previous issue, is at spot 35. Do we like this better or worse?
I think this is better.
Okay, I agree. How about this? In spot 25 is issue number 29, where the X-Kids came along. Mm-hmm. Better or worse?
I'm going to say better. Above that, we have the Runaways showing up. So we got mm-hmm. something comparable here. I think this is a better ending.
Which is a flashback episode, Homecoming Part 2, which is in spot 18.
Okay, we have spot number 22, World Eater. That's where the Baxter Building is infested and Sue is keeping the peace while Galactus wants a snack. And above that, that's where we have Intelligence, and that's where Ronan makes milkshake for the Supreme Intelligence. I think that this is going to be good between those two.
I think that's a fine spot. It can be the new 22.
Let's do that. All right. All right. All right. All right. I give you a beer.
Yes, you did give me a beer.
It's the best of times.
Best times. Hell's Lager by Urban Family Brewing Company. It's a fine beverage. I'm enjoying it. Flavor has remained constant. It is very drinkable.
Very.
Yeah, it's nice. It's not what I would totally drink it again.
This is a quaffable beer.
Yeah, you can pour this down pretty easy. I know I went back to the can and filled it up. I'm running shy on beverage now, which is making me a little bit sad. Got a little bit of a sweet flavor at the tail end of it. Highly drinkable. It's a good 3.5 for me.
I'm going to kick mine up to a 4. I'm actually really enjoying this a lot. Like I said, it's a really easy beer to quaff down the old throat and say, yes, 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 I will take more of this. It's fun. It's light. It's refreshing. It is not pervy.
It is definitely not an old perv beer. And that leads us to Kid's Perspective, and that's where Rick talks to his 13-year-old daughter, Carrie, about the issue that we just covered. Rick and Carrie, take it away.
Hello, Carrie.
Hello, Daddy.
How are you doing tonight?
Good, and you?
I'm doing quite well. I'm going to do even better once we start talking about this really cool book, right?
Yeah.
How did you like this Avengers Academy book?
I wasn't expecting it.
What were you expecting?
I was really expecting Sebastian Shaw to be the bad guy, but surprise, he's probably good.
Nah, he's pretty much a bad guy, but you're right. In this one, he is reasonable and he's not interested in anything else except getting out of there. That's about it. So he's not the problem. Who's the problem?
Adults.
Yeah, kind of. Avengers Academy, yeah.
Like the teachers. Yeah,
the teachers. The X-Men kids want to go. The Avenger Academy students kind of want to help them. What's the solution?
Just have them go.
Not quite. What do they have to do? Because there's all the cameras everywhere.
The teachers had to fake it like they were going to stop them, and then they had to fake beat them up, and mm-hmm. then ran away.
What part of the story did you like the most?
I really liked it when like Hercules was acting. I say in air quotes because it's really great. Yep, thumbs up. 5-star acting, really.
You and Jeff both like that one.
Oh, no. It hurts so much to be in pain.
Yeah, you're even worse actor than he is. Wow, rolled your eyes at me. That was a pretty good impersonation of what Hercules did. That was good.
Why, thank you. I've been working on it for days. Oh, the tremendous effort it takes to be an actress of supreme quality.
Keep it up. Keep it up.
Nah, I'm done.
What did you think about this arc overall? What did you think about these last 3 stories? Did you like it? Not like it?
I kind of liked it. It showed more light on Laura because her kind of conflict going between the two, kind of finding herself. You know, everybody's got to have that finding themselves. It seems like she did, so then that'll be done, probably.
She's a little bit more comfortable in her adamantium skeleton, isn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah. She's pretty good in this one, isn't she?
Yeah. She made up her mind.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. Is there anything else you wanted to talk about with this one?
I don't think so.
All right. Then thank you very much for your time, Carrie.
Welcome.
I love you.
Love you too.
Look out, Carrie, they're going to have a fight. Well, no, they're not. Wait, there's going to be another fight. Well, maybe there's not. Hey, fake fight. Ah, go do what you want. You're a good kid, Carrie. We trust you.
Shout out time. We like to recognize those listeners that take the time to write in or leave us a review. And this is for episode 154, where we covered Avengers Academy number 28, Homecoming, Part 2. And we got some likes and appreciation from Tim Price, the Podcrasher,
Colin Stapleton,
Clinton Robeson,
Hoover Jeremiah,
Dance On,
Jeremy Daw,
Jeff Bullier,
Jeremy Wiggins.
We also like to thank those lovely people who gave us a few bucks here and there to continue doing this show, and I am talking about people like adorably astonishing and amazing Andrew Burns.
Cheerfully cheeky and charming Char Logan.
Challenging, cheesy, and chuckling Charles Gears.
Destructive and devastatingly delightful Damian Witter.
Dynamically dangerous and devious Doug Jones.
Intelligent, interesting, and innovative Isaac Perry.
Jesting, joking, and jovial Jeff Bollier.
Just jealous and jeweled Jeremy Daw.
Muscly, mighty, and meticulous Matthew Birdsey.
Mythical and magnificent monologuing Matthew Laserwitz.
Steely, salty, and steamy Sailor Bear Zodar.
Sad and sickeningly silly Shag Matthews.
Tyrannically terrifying and tame Tim Price.
Way, way wordy and wobbly Waffles.
Weird and wonderfully wacky Wind.
Next issue, we are going to be covering Avengers Academy, issue number 32.
And be sure to check out me when I'm on the road. Oh no, I should be back from my road trip by this time when this comes out. Just so happens. Don't worry about it.
But a thing you could worry about is what clothes you could put on your back. And we can fix that because we have some merchandise available on Redbubble. Go to redbubble.com and search for Unpacking the Power of Power Pack.
Jeff and Rick Present is a bi-weekly self-produced podcast recorded in front of a live studio audience in Portland, Oregon. If you would like to interact with us through the magic of the internet, you can do so through Blue Sky at Jeff and Rick Present, our Facebook page, Jeff and Rick Present, our email address, Jeff and Rick Present, all one word at gmail.com, or at our website, jeffandrickpresent.wordpress.com. Also, we have a YouTube channel at Jeff and Rick Present.
And if you would like to help support our show, we are on Patreon. You can find us at patreon.com, Jeff and Rick Present, all one word. We are also a proud supporter of the Hero Initiative, and we'll be donating 10% of our Patreon donations to this great cause. We encourage everyone to give what they can to this worthwhile organization that helps the creators who provide us with such great content. Go to heroinitiative.org to find out more.
Please rate and review us wherever you can, tell your friends about us, or share your love for us on social media.
And as always, we want to thank the powerful people in our packs.
My wife Cindy and our daughter Carrie.
My fiance Hillary and our daughter Aurora.
We love you.
Until next time, costumes off.
Our theme is a use action by Kevin Cloud. Also featured in this episode is Lazy Cat Groove by Sasha and Day. All music is found at Coptech.com and is licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 4.0 license.
That's our show. We're 100% ad-based. Today's sponsor, Bonkazonks.
Shrink.
Where we journey through each issue of comics that include a member of the most underrated Marvel... Gonna be a great, great day.
Shrink.
So what does she assess of the... Yep, that was right.